Right, here we are. It's the podcast. Fabulous Adam Richard, the punctual Toby Sullivan.
Good morning.
And our very special guest star, Thomas Jess.
Hello.
What a pleasure to be back in the studio, actually talking into microphones.
And being, well, loosely sober.
What a pleasure for the listeners.
Listener, to hear you sober.
Singular, not plural.
After a terrible pub crawl.
Oh, yeah, we should apologise.
It went
for
like 9 weeks.
It was forever.
It was such a good idea at the time, and
yeah,
and it turned out to be appalling. Peter, my husband, listens to the podcast for some unknown fucking reason.
He wants to hear whether he's had sex recently or not.
And I said, "Are you listening to the pub crawl ones? How are you enjoying them?" And he went, "Oh, I'm not listening to those ones." I've been with you when you're drunk. You've been in my house. I don't need to listen to it recorded.
That time we went to your house after one of our alleged meetings. We don't even have meetings anymore. It's too difficult.
We smashed about 4 plates.
We smashed
spilled
plates.
Spilled booze on
glasses.
The carpet.
We danced to Bananarama on the couch. And Bahita just sat there like, if this wasn't my house, I'd leave.
Oh. He sounds like a real catch.
He's lovely.
Did I tell you my grandmother started listening to the Poofcast?
Oh, I'm
really?
Sorry.
Yeah, she really likes it, yeah.
Your grandmother's got a foul mouth, though.
Yeah, she has. She skips past some bits that are a bit too graphic, but on the whole, she likes it. She likes it on the whole. On the whole, she likes it.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
So there you go. There's another. That's two listeners.
We've got two.
Yeah, right. But is there anyone listening who's not directly related to us?
True.
Is there anyone not from the same household as us listening to it? Well, a big cheerio to Nana Jaspers.
Hi, Nana Jaspers.
What do we call her?
Marg.
Hi, Marg.
Marg.
I hope your hole's all right.
I hope you keep your hole in a doily. There's more after this.
Mary Poppins, Jersey Boys, Warhorse, The Rhonda Birchmore Story. Australia's never had it so good with so many exciting mega musicals. But get ready for the biggest and besterest mega musical yet. It's a fagtacular of gayrific proportions. It's Brainless Twink, the musical. Brainless Twink, the musical is the totally random story of a flawless queen who travels from his small town home in the inner western suburbs to the city to queue overnight for Gaga tickets. In costume. This is a heartwarming, feel-good, gluten-free, water-resistant, tragicomic, avant-garde romp you'll never see twice. With such instant twink music theatre classics as I Don't Know How to Spell Him, K Thanks Bye Dolly, That's Twinkertainment, and I'm Gonna Scrape That Man Right Out of My Hair, Brainless Twink the Musical is a joy for all ages, whether you're 18 or 19. Special offer. Book early bird tickets and receive a special free DVD documentary about the making of the show entitled Brainless and Hairless. I'm a dancer, not a fetus. Brainless Twink the Musical. Book now or whatever.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Talk poofy to me.
Right, it's once more time to enter the hallowed hall.
Oh, you've got your ABC classic voice on.
Yes. Welcome. Oh, if I was doing my ABC voice, I would be like, right, we've got, coming up is, and just, you know how you can hear them searching for the piece of paper that they got from the publicist?
Yeah. It's really just RRR with dag ear cardigans.
It's, we do have now.
You just hear their pacemaker in the back.
But yes, we have entered the hallowed halls of the Poofstery. It's time for Mother Horan.
Good evening.
Sorry, that was a bit Geraldine Doog, wasn't it?
Welcome.
Though that even scared me. Hello, lovely to be back.
Jaspers is in the chair.
Yes.
Yes. I love this bit.
It's good, isn't it?
This bit's great.
I know. Yeah. He loves anything from before Madonna.
I don't remember anything from before Madonna.
In the old days, we used to have this thing called Sunita. I've been watching so much Sunita on YouTube.
It's, no.
Why are you watching Sunita?
I have no idea what Sunita is.
I'm just coming late. Oh, hang on.
Oh, Mother Horan, do a Sunita special.
Do a Sunita special.
No.
Does she still root Simon Cowell? Because there's like an implication that they're still very friendly.
No, that was in the way back. I mean, they'd broken up even when she was big. Like, that's back.
They were on a boat together just this last summer.
Well, they're still friendly. Sunita's a friendly girl. Everyone's... Hazel Dean's always talking about going out for drinks with Sunita on her blog.
Hazel Dean.
Hazel Dean.
You read Hazel Dean's blog. Fills
I fucking
me with
love
joy.
Hazel Dean.
Thomas looks so confused right now.
Anything that was around. I only know anything that has happened since Commercial Road closed. Anything before that. Anything before that, I'm lost.
So like Melissa Takacs, nothing.
Nothing.
But also, too, I think when you look, when you view the continuum of gay history as involving Sunita and Hazel Dean, I'm quite for a scorched earth policy for all gay history. And I support all young people in ignoring old people if they're going to bring up Sunita in COVID. I can barely remember who she was, but I know I shouldn't.
She was so macho.
Macho, he's gotta be.
Oh,
so macho,
he's gotta be.
And she was also
big and strong.
Toy boy.
Yeah.
And she did. What was the cover she did with Stockaken and Waterman?
She did. It's all right, and it's coming on. We gotta get it right back to where we started from.
The '80s one, not the original.
Yeah, right. Not the first one.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
This is the last thing you need for your intro, Mother Hori. Thanks for coming in. We'll have you next week.
Yes, this is a section called Scare Mother Horan, with references from the 80s. And I go outside and vomit outside the door.
Do you know what I've become, I realise, is like when my grandmother would always go, oh, I used to like good old Johnny Ray.
Good old Johnny Ray.
Oh, and I go, what are you talking about, you old fossil? Just give me some chocolates. We all become what we most fear.
Yes.
Yeah, so give me the chocolates.
You're not that young.
Tremendous. Well, what I'd like to talk about today is the return of gay history.
The return.
A really interesting...
Well, we started it. Well, let's lay claim to it.
We invented gay history.
We invented gay history.
Good. How vaguely embarrassing. Basically, something quite really interesting from a pop culture perspective has happened, and I have spent quite a lot of time actually researching this one, really, because this is quite an interesting thing that's just happened, and it's the return of the word kiki.
Oh, kiki.
No. Let's have a kiki.
Now, yeah, now the Scissor Sisters, as in
Kiki D that sang with Elton John.
No, enough.
Sorry.
Enough. Go back in your Sunita hole.
The Sunita hole.
Go back.
You'll get sent to the Sunita hole.
Simon Cowell spent quite a lot of time in the
Oh, but no, what I'd like to talk about is the return of the word kiki. Now, Scissor Sisters came out with this, the song, earlier in the year, Let's Have a Kiki. And all of a sudden, I really did notice all people starting to use that word.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite, I kind of have heard it, and I know it's been around, but all of a sudden, my nieces start using it on Facebook and things like that. Oh, kiki. We're going around for a kiki. Now, so basically a kiki, as the song will tell you, and here's the song lyrics from the Scissor Sisters. A kiki is a party for calming all your nerves. We're spilling tea and dishing the desserts when they deserve. And though the sun is rising, few may choose to leave, et cetera, et cetera. So basically it's basically you go around to your friend's house and you have a bitch and have a bit of a chat and it's a get-together with your gay mates.
Does this scan all right to you, Jaspers?
Yeah.
So far, so good?
Yeah. So basically that's what a kiki...
I'm kikiing like crazy.
So that's what a kiki is. And this is what basically... And to hear this reference in the song, this is really interesting. Where does this come from? What does this mean? And it's really quite fascinating. But yeah, it is. You guys are hearing this word more.
Yeah, my mother, I was talking to her to see a show the other day, and she caught up and said, oh, let's have a kiki after.
Oh, right.
Thought she was pretty cool.
Yeah. Because it's a really cool word, and I like the concept because it is a kind of a gay tea party where you bitch about friends and demolish other people's reputations when they're not there. That kind of, bitchy but fun thing.
So basically that's what we should have called this podcast.
Jake Shears, you've ruined it again.
Now, first of all, it's not to be confused with the older lesbian phrase kiki. Now, in the 60s...
there's another kind of kiki?
There's many. Oh. There's in the 50s and 60s, a kiki was... The lesbian bar scene, particularly in America, was very butch and femme. When you went into a bar, you really divided yourself as one thing or another.
So it was like
so it's like an Aussie heterosexual barbecue. Yeah.
But if you
say that again, Jaspers, in your big deep voice,
I would have been a femme.
But someone who was not defining themselves as butch or femme, and basically their new lesbian, who's kind of, I'm not too sure where I'm going to go with this one, was a kiki. And a kiki is someone who's on the fence. Now, this is an almost extinct saying and word now.
So an undecided lesbian, it's like a Julia Gillard.
Exactly.
Or a Bieber.
And in America, a kiki is a kind of an obscure phrase for bisexual or gay in certain circles and things like that. Right. It's quite rare. But where it seems to have come from, where the Sister Sisters seems to have drawn this from, is because a lot of old gay words and, you know, quite traditional gay words still exist within the drag scene.
Yeah.
And especially the American ball scene, which voguing and all of that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, right.
Kind of
thing. Yes.
Now, all of their language in this, especially the New York scene, is not new language, and it actually is actually a tradition now that's almost 100 years old.
Oh my God.
So a lot of the things that drag uses is actually really old phrases. Now, in drag, a kiki is basically any gathering of drag queens. So right. a gathering of drag queens in a social sense, and usually where two drag queens meet up and hook up, that can be called a kai kai.
A kai kai?
Kai kai. And kai kai, which is derived from basically when a kiki gets a bit heated, it becomes a kai kai.
Oh, this is like one of those tonal languages like Chinese or Vietnamese or something. Learn so many subtleties.
So when drag queens hook up, they... Do they do some sort of weird scissoring that doesn't quite work?
They cuck.
Look, I reckon just the technical thing of hooking up with a drag queen as another drag queen, imagine just taking that shit off.
Oh, I know.
The
sheets would be a mess, all that makeup.
I have fucked a drag queen or two in my time, and the next morning is a disaster. Because you're like going, oh my God, there are fake nails in my bed, glitter all over my pillow. There's shit on the wall.
So basically, so this is a word that's existed within the drag thing that seems to have broken out via the Sister Sisters, has now come into popular language.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is the origin of where the drag queens got it. Now, this seems to stretch back, and this is very hard to actually ascertain, but it seems to have been around a little bit in the gay scene in New York in the 20s. And the reason for that is that in the 1920s in the gay scene, you used a lot of kind of humorous kind of slang French, because kiki is actually a French word. And it's a very humorous French word, because in slang, in sort of...
C'est un pun. It is a pun, monsieur.
Well, it kind of is, because about 100 years ago, when you got together and you said, let's have a kiki, kiki purely in French means to throttle. Or to squeeze the throat of.
It's perfect, isn't it?
And that's exactly what when... gay men get together and they're bitching about each other. They're basically throttling.
Yeah.
And I reckon metaphorical throttling. I thought it was like going to be like a chicken choking metaphor.
So basically, this is where the word kiki comes from. It's kind of slang French.
For strangling someone.
For basically demolishing someone else's reputation and bitching about them. But the French sort of metaphor that they love to use is to throttle, to choke, to garrote.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So this is where this... So basically it's now a lot more kind of, let's have a tea party and a bitch and get a bit drunk and be rude. But it actually comes from the slang French, which is actually kind of quite a little bit Jack the Ripper.
Mm. Yeah.
I think entirely appropriate. The interesting thing about the French, it has kind of always been an informal word.
Kiki.
But in the 60s, if you were probably early 60s, if you had a Vespa and you're going through the streets of France. Mm. Very common phrase, slang phrase, and it's probably somewhere in Breathless.
Carol Tribune.
Is basically if you saw another gay man and you said, jump on the back of my Vespa, the correct phrase is c'est parti mon kiki, which is basically, let's go, my kiki.
Oh.
So basically, and this was a 60s thing that existed in France for a very short period of time, is now kind of as dated as, hey, that's groovy.
You know, French idiom is great. The French idiom for, like, in English we say drink like a fish.
Yeah.
In French you say bois comme un bou, which is drink like a hole. Which is this image of just this giant gaping Guatemalan sinkhole in the earth.
Stop talking about Scott Brennan when he's not here.
All the champagne and tequila in the world just being poured into this hole.
It's drink like a Brennan.
Drink like a Brennan. But also too, kiki can mean, it's a humorous name for your dick. So yeah.
Oh.
If you're in France and you get un petit kiki, that's not good.
Oh.
Yes.
Small.
So there you are. So this is a kind of a rare French word, like
it's
a
done
19th
G.
century slang French word that has gone into drag via bitchy queens in the 1920s in New York, has gone into drag and now has kind of burst back into popular culture.
Oh my God, it's like the Tilda Swinton in Orlando of words.
So, yeah. So, welcome back, Kiki. Welcome in your new incarnation. I think it's a fucking great
one. What's going to happen next, do you reckon? Like, if people are using it now as, let's have a party, like...
Where does Kiki go next?
Like, we'll become bigger parties
now that,
or something.
Now that gay no longer means, you know, bum fucker and means of something that's shit.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe we can just be Kikis.
She's a bit Kiki.
Oh, she's a Kiki. Well, I'd like to come out. Mum, Dad, I'm Kiki.
I just, but also too, I do, and this is nothing against either of our nations, in Australia and New Zealand, that our relationship to vowels is not the best.
No, you're right.
So in Australia, it's Kiki, which is a little grating.
Kiki.
And in New Zealand, it's Koko, which is kind of underwhelming.
Imagine if you had a Kiwi Kiki.
It sounds like a mail order husband, doesn't it?
Kiwi Kiki.
This is my friend Kiki.
What if you were going to have a Hawaiian bitchy tea party? It'd be a Tiki Kiki.
And what if things got really strange and you had like a really freaky Tiki Kiki?
We're having a freaky Tiki Kiki Friday.
And you felt sick afterwards, just like, oh, I'm a bit peaky from the freaky Tiki Kiki.
Okay, this is going to go on.
I'm
going to
get
hours.
The tram home with my Mickey.
In Victoria, we have a card called Mikey, and it's not pronounced Mickey. Thank you, Toby, for attempting that.
Look, there's more is more in my book.
Thanks, Mother Horan.
A pleasure.
I don't want to talk to these cocksuckers, but you have to. Talk poofy
to me. Right, it's time now again to talk to our sexpert, Colin Batruni.
Welcome back, Colleen.
We're starting again.
Yeah. You're ruining the magic. I'm stretching it out across four podcasts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Let's start again.
I want to ask you, Colin, there has been some talk lately of coming out of the closet, so to speak, with your HIV status. I don't know whether people are doing this because, you know, people are so okay with being gay now, they need something to come out about. I'm coming out of the closet as being a hardcore war gamer, and I like to do paintball. But
my father threw me out when he found out I was gluten-free because he's a baker.
But it's do you think that this is a sensible thing, like the fact that people are now out and proud with their HIV status? Or I worry that in the state of Victoria, at least, where it can be, you know, passing on HIV, you know, without telling people is considered a criminal act, that people I feel like it's, you know, we could end up being like in Nazi Germany. It's like, yes, I'm a Jew. Oh, I shouldn't have told anyone that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that the whole issue of... So there's two sides to this. Basically, there's a fantastic new kind of campaign that Living Positive Victoria has who were PLWHA Victoria, but they've gone through a name change. They've got this campaign called Enough, E-N-U-F, which is basically people saying, I've had enough of stigma and discrimination directed at HIV positive people and I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm mad as hell. and you've got all sorts of people signing on to be part of that campaign, which is great. I think that's fantastic. So basically that's seeking an end to stigma and discrimination against HIV positive people.
And then, coming out would and being, you know, a positive role model for someone.
The more people you see, then the less frightened you are of something,
So that would be a part of that, and I get that.
That's right. So, but I think that the slightly, well, not troubling, but I guess the thing that you got to watch in relation to, not enough so much, because I think it's a great initiative, but this idea that everybody should come out as HIV positive, because I think it's an intensely personal decision.
Yeah.
And unlike coming out as gay, which is basically... something that, you know, I think that we can all accept that we were born gay and it has a kind of, it's generally positive in terms of its kind of life-affirming kind of aspects. Coming out as having something which is basically an illness, I guess, the story in relation to illness is a lot more complex than, I guess, than the whole kind of thing around being gay. So I don't think it's as clear-cut as making that comparison between coming out as being gay and coming out as being HIV positive.
Coming out as being gay, as you say, is a pretty unambiguous admission.
Yeah.
Because it's saying that, you know, I'm comfortable or here I am or whatever. But as you say, Colin, coming out as HIV positive is tinged with a very negative connotation, which is I'm sick, which is the fact of the matter.
Well, not so much sick, but that you carry a virus, which is potentially quite dangerous. But I guess I'm just not altogether comfortable with this idea that of aligning it with coming out as gay, because I think it's more complex than that. So that's my kind of take on that. But I do think the Enough campaign is fantastic, and people should sign on to it. I think the campaign website is enuf.org.au.
I've got a wrinkle on this issue for you.
Mm.
We've got a letter from Michael, who's got a friend who is HIV positive, and is hooking up like crazy and not telling anyone. And Michael wants to know, should he dob? Should he out someone out of the HIV closet?
Mm.
Well, I think Michael, I'm assuming that's not his real name.
Could be. Are you feeling lucky?
No, I think the thing about that in Victoria, you don't have to. It's not a legal requirement that people with HIV disclose their HIV status to sexual partners as long as they engage in safe sexual activity.
Right.
That's not true in New South Wales, for instance, where people are legally required to disclose their status.
They're legally required.
Yeah, they are.
Wow.
But I think they're looking to change that.
Shit, that's really weird. Don't you think that's weird?
That's weird. Especially if they're having safe sex. It seems pointless.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very weird and it should be changed.
And unpoliceable and like that's...
Well, it is policeable, but only, you know, if you're a vengeful bitch.
Yeah.
You want to call the police on your ex-boyfriend. Like, that's the only way that shit's policeable.
But then it just comes down to he says, she says.
Yeah.
There's no way to actually prove anything.
Yeah.
What a pointless exercise in Fred Nile fucking shit up for New South Wales yet again.
So if Michael's friend is hooking up with a whole bunch of people to have sex with them, and good luck to him, and he's doing it safely, then I think Michael should keep his sticky beak out of it.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
But what if... Say, for instance, Michael talks to one of his friends who's had sex with this particular person and he quizzes him about the safety of the intercourse and finds out that it's not very safe. What's going on?
Okay, so I guess
that's a hypothetical, obviously.
Yeah, I guess my personal response to that story would be, if I was Michael, I would go to his friend and say, "Hey, Adam Richard told me that he had sex with you, and you fucked him every which way, and you didn't wear a condom, and I know that you're positive. What's the deal? I think you've got to tell Adam.
Put it back to them.
And then, but I would make that kind of time limited in a way, and I'd say, and if you don't tell Adam, then as a friend of Adam, I'm going to kind of tell him.
Right.
Right. The moral responsibility is that significant.
Yeah, but I would put the onus on the positive person to do that in the first instance, in that hypothetical situation.
Because I guess on the other hand is, you know, it would be a distressing thing to find out that you're HIV positive, and you would, on a huge level, go into denial and pretend that it wasn't a thing, it wasn't a big deal, it wasn't happening to you. It's like finding out anything that is a big life-changing shock. You immediately go, that's not happening.
That's not real.
I'm going to pretend that's not real.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's certainly true, but I think that my feeling about this is that, and this is also borne out in the social research, is that no one with HIV, and in spite of all the crap that we got in the media about gift givers and bug chasers and all that overwhelmingly, people with HIV do not want to pass on the virus to another individual. That's the last thing they want to do.
That is a big responsibility to wear on your shoulders, to pass it on without telling anyone.
Yeah, and they go to great lengths to make sure that doesn't happen. That doesn't mean that they don't have unprotected sex, because, of course, HIV-positive men get together and have unprotected sex with each other, because they can't. There's no way that they can give each other HIV because they already have HIV. Now, the issue in relation to that is, of course, sexually transmittable infections that aren't HIV. That's still
and also risk. If your immune system is compromised, the last thing you want is gonorrhea.
Yeah.
or anything.
Or anything. Know. Or syphilis. Yeah. Or chlamydia.
Or Hep C. Or.
Or Scott Brennan. I believe he's communicable now. Oh, bless you, Colin Petrini. You are a fountain of information.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Colin. You fixed everything yet again.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just really thrilled to be on the phone with, Adam, of course, is giving a great performance in Series 7 of what is now called Being Brendo.
Oh, yes.
But, who can forget the indelible performance of Jet?
Oh, yes.
Thomas Jaspers.
My amazing... You know, I think that was a lot of method acting, because you were playing a drug-fucked asshole that had just had a one-night stand with someone who didn't know
which
where they were.
Which is something I've never done before.
Yeah.
Ever before. I've never walked into a living room and seen Adam Richard there on the couch. Ever. I promise.
And after that...
I live alone.
The phone hasn't stopped ringing since then, I tell you. I've just inundated with calls.
After that experience of having sex with Thomas, they threw up. Yeah.
They're now Thomas Jasper's positive.
Okay.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much, Colin.
Bye, Poofies.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Right, that was the Poofcast. Thanks, Jasper, for helping us out.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
I'm sorry about that mess in the middle. You know.
When will they learn?
I don't know.
When will we learn?